Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, and I'm glad that you're tuning in with another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. I hope everyone has been blessed, and this is a wonderful Tuesday, February the 18th, 2014. I am in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's feeling mighty good today. Hopefully, we will get the spring very soon, and I am so happy that we have passed over the winter storm. So everyone who made it through, that was a blessing. And the ones who didn't make it through, well, we send our regards out to you. Well, while I'm waiting on my guest to call in at the moment, you know I don't keep you at a dead tune. I'm going to hit you with some nice little tunes, and we'll get this thing cracking.
Will you clap your hands right here? Come on. My God reigns.
My God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Our God reigns.
Lord, you reign. Say with power and majesty,
power and majesty, dominion, authority, you reign.
Sing it again with power.
With power and majesty, dominion, authority, you reign.
Come on, let's score right here. Circumstance. giving me another chance. Somebody holler, you ready? Now I'm gonna sing tonight. I know y'all came to hear me sing, but God came to hear you sing. Open your mouth, say, over my circumstance, giving me
to start you off with a blessed tune today, because that's what this show is all about, news and motivation and always trying to get you to the next point. So while you're rocking the box with me on Blog Talk Radio, I hope you sit back, and if you feel like calling in, let's just have a friendly conversation, do so at 347-426-3751. You're on Blog Talk Radio.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs. Giving me time to breathe, like a rock you waited so patiently. When I got it together, oh, when I figured it out,
yeah.
I only looked but I never touched. Losing my heart was a picture of us holding hands, making plans, and lucky for me you understand. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me
clothes for you. Yeah. Now we have to get right.
You
tell everybody about how I put it down. You know I shut you down, got you up off the ground. It's I can't be wasted if I let you on my spaceship. You either let me taste it, hop on it, I'ma give you a ride. Cause we gon' make love all through the night.
Like I can't say it. I know, I'm nice.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. And kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Like a moth to a flame burned by the fire. My love is blind, can't you see my desire? That's the way love goes.
the way love.
That's the way love goes.
Today I have Alex Hellestick. Am I saying it correctly, your last name, Alex?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. It feels good in Atlanta, Georgia today.
That's wonderful. I'm happy to hear that. It's sunny and beautiful over here in Los Angeles, California.
I know you in the sun, living it up, just enjoying all this.
Staying busy, you know. I mean, it's been a busy week. I'm excited to see what's going to be happening in the coming days.
I know you actually staying busy. You actually have something going on right now in the process, right?
Yes, actually. I have three projects that I'm undertaking, so it's been quite a madhouse over here. It's been It's been amazing, though. I'm very blessed to be constantly working on new and exciting projects, two of which are short films and one of which is a feature that we're going to be shooting in March.
So what actually got you into theater? Because I know you grew up around theater, television, and film, and it's all that your family loved, as both your mother, your brother, they were involved in it too, right?
Yeah, I kind of was submerged in that kind of atmosphere growing up. I was born and raised in New York, and being in New York, I would go into the city all the time. We would see plays. My brother would love to also do stuff for summer camp and for school, and my mom would always do that kind of entertainment. And, you know, they were also involved in the industry. So when you're basically growing up around the industry your entire life, you really get influenced, and it was just such a passion for me. It runs in my blood. I mean, I see no other way to it, really.
I know. I'm so proud of you. Alex, if you don't mind, can you just give us, like, some of the movies that you participated in? Because I think you
sure.
did one on Law and Order, which is my favorite.
Well, yes, there's a couple of films that I've helped with production with on. I started my production company, Breezeway Productions. You can find it located on Facebook. We have series of shorts and music collections that we've produced. We have a lot of videos that are up that show ranges from drama to horror and comedy. We have videos on funnierdie.com. We just constantly keep producing content, and right now the schedule is we have two more shorts on the way and one feature, so stay updated on that, and you can check out all the work that's coming in.
Oh, wow, I cannot wait. But what were some of your major influences that really brightened you up to want to be a great actor?
Well, a lot of the people that I meet that are out there in the industry are very big influences to me. They're always giving words of wisdom, and that they can understand the struggle that you're going through the process of going and getting into Hollywood. The thing about Los Angeles is that everybody has to go through a circuit pretty much. They have to figure out the grinding and the gears that this town basically works. And everybody's been through it, you know, from Brad Pitt, who has been living in a one-bedroom with 12 other people, worked for El Pollo Loco in the past, Jim Carrey, who slept in the back of his pickup, actually, with his family most of his life until he was in Living Color. Everyone can really appreciate the struggle, so I'm very, very appreciative of words of advice from people that have been in the same boat as me until they just decided to, you know, have that one hit that takes off their career. So it's very influencing to me, and I really, really appreciate that from the people that I meet.
Well, have you went through any of those experiences like they have, sleeping in the car?
I've been there. When I first came out here, I would sleep under the stars. I had to bounce around to figure out where I was going to live. I had to deal with, you know, crazy roommates and landlords, as a lot of people in L.A. can really understand how it goes. And it was quite a challenge. It really tested my limits. If I didn't grow up with my fraternity brothers that I owe my strength to, I wouldn't have made it out here for as long as I have. And I continue to fight. So every day we come together and we persevere through L.A.'s torrent of craziness. So I'm blessed to have that strength.
Actually, to get out there, you have to sacrifice, and that's what you did. You sacrificed to get to where you need to get to. Are there any dream roles that you hope to one day do?
Yeah, I mean, I have my ambitions to be on The Walking Dead. It would be a blessing. Boardwalk Empire,
yeah.
I know that's their last season. That would be a blessing. I'm really a big fan of those kind of things. Game of Thrones. TV is a big thing for me now. TV is the best that it's ever been, and you know, to be a, you know, elite supporting actor would be the culmination of everything that I've worked for. I've had glimpses of it in the past, which keep my appetite wet, and I continue to go on that route. And I love it. I love every day. I greet every day with a smile now, and positivity is my best friend.
I'm sure you do. One day we're going to be watching you, and we'll be looking at you getting nominated for an Oscar one day.
Hey, yes, you know, we work towards it. We got our dreams. Everybody does. Musicians, dancers, actors, filmmakers. We keep it moving because that's what we love to do.
So, Alice, what are some of your favorite type of roles? Is it comedy, drama?
Well, that's it's interesting. I started out doing a lot of drama roles, and then working with my agency, they said that it would be better to try on some comedic appetite. So I did recently. I just released a short, Santa Baby. It's on Funny or Die. It deals with me as Santa Claus, pretty much in a therapy office, and arguing with my wife, Mrs. Claus, and it's very, very comedic. I watched it and I cracked up. It was hilarious. I like so comedic roles as of late.
What about well, you know, SNL, they usually do a lot of the actors and comedians on there.
But what is it?
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Saturday Night Live? Yeah. I'm looking into taking classes at UCB, which is Upright Citizens Brigade. It's an acting troupe that they would go through comedic performances, and that's something that I'm looking into. Saturday Night Live is a show where they just like to have fun. I love Saturday Night Live for years.
So let me ask, are there any of – now, I know you mentioned, like, you paid attention to some of the actors like Jim Carrey, looking at their lifestyles, how they had to struggle and make it. But now, what are some of your favorite actors? Robert De Niro.
My favorite actors. Yes. My number one favorite actor is definitely Daniel Day-Lewis. It's just phenomenal. Phenomenal performances in everything that he's done. And
I'm Lincoln.
Favorite Daniel Day-Lewis movie is actually Gangs of New York, which is a Scorsese. I'm a really big Scorsese fan. I love the characters, the colorfulness of the sets and the production design and the story, how it's constructed. It's just phenomenal to me. That was one of the best things I've seen him done. My Left Foot and There Will Be Blood, also two that are following that. Just amazing, and that's a height that I can only dream of achieving.
Well, definitely, Alex, I can see it now. You're definitely going to achieve it with the way you're going. There's no doubt about it at all.
Thank you
so much.
That's really
good. But see, great actors, you don't hear nothing too much about them until like they're gone, like. As we were talking about Daniel Day-Lewis, see, we don't hear too much about them as much, but we know these are great actors. My favorite, I love Angela Bassett. Angelina Jolie, I love her too. Every time I look at one of her movies, I'll be wanting to do just like her, just start some kickboxing. I love her every time she does a movie.
Nice, yes. Yeah, quite graceful.
Alice, this is what I wanted to ask. Have you met any of the actors?
Yes, I've had run-ins in the past in Hollywood. That happens pretty frequently all over town. You could see people, you know, just doing their daily live things, you know, in Hollywood or West Hollywood. They would be out getting groceries. They might be at the same red carpet event as you. And I've had interactions and great nights in the past. One of my most memorable nights was a night with Dan Aykroyd at a red carpet event where we happened to be at the same function. He was dancing, having a great time, and I was with a couple of my friends. We went over, we sat and talked. He was a wonderful, wonderful person, very strong businessman personality, rolling with his entourage. But, you know, they're out and about, and they're having a good time. When I went to Sundance, it was packed with celebrities, Kurt Russell, Adrian Grenier. There's so many to list, but they're all over, and they're people just like you and me, and it's just an amazing experience to run into them and have a chance to meet and talk.
Oh, I would love it. I would love just to meet one of them. What actually, I know that you said it's been in your family for the longest, but what actually made you decide to pursue this path?
Well, I was talking about it for a really long time when I was in college. I was with my friends, and I kept saying, I'm going to California. I have these ambitions after I finish college. And everybody was like, you know, you're just saying that you're going to go back to New York and everything's going to be fine. And I had no plan at all. I picked up my bags and I came out here with no idea what was going to happen. So I just rolled the dice. A lot of people can't really grasp doing that because they're afraid or they don't know what would happen. They need to be structured. And it's kind of just a leap of faith. I've met other individuals that have been able to end up on their feet and some that weren't so lucky and that ended up going home. But I just lived life pretty much, and I am going forth with ambition. And who knows what will happen. I love that. The prize is always fun to me.
Yeah, and you're right, though. Some people do hold themselves back because they are too afraid to step out there, not trusting that God. He has your back in every step of the way. As long as you know what's right for you and you're on the right path and you know you praise him every day, then he has you. And that's how I see it. You just have to step out on faith.
Amen. And God bless that. It's true. I've had many a times where I've gone to my religious place of worship and I've asked for guidance because I was broken down to the last stick that I had. There's been countless times where I've been about to give up because of the hardships. But I persevere, and then something miraculously just appears, and then you just follow the signs until you figure out what happens. And I count my blessings every day. It's true.
I know that's right, Alex. Now, Alex, you also have been involved in Broadway as well. What are the most important attributes for being successful on Broadway?
Well, that's an entirely different ballgame, because between film and theater, you have to understand the boundaries, because when you're in theater, you can sing out. It could be a little bit more projected. You have a different take on the stylings. While in film, I mean, we see a lot of people that come in from the theatrical world, and it's too much. You have to, like, reduce and tone down your actions when you're on camera. So it's a completely different world when you're looking at both sides of the coin, pretty much. I particularly did theater most of my life growing up, but I switched over to film because theater just didn't really become my cup of tea. It was more like a hobby, not a lifestyle.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's just the way I saw things unfold.
Now, out of mostly your entire acting career, what is probably one of your favorite plays?
My favorite play, hands down, is Little Shop of Horrors, mixed with Les Mis and Miss Saigon. So top three. Sorry, it's not hands down, but I love all three of those plays.
Okay. Any you might want to give to someone who's really trying to get out there too, Alex?
Yeah, you know, go for it. I really, really think that life is way too short not to go for it. If you have something that you want to do, but then you keep coming up with excuses to stop your dreams or your passions, that doesn't sit well with me, because you don't have that long to go ahead and do it. So if you're contemplating coming out to Los Angeles, the snow got you crazy, it's too cold, or you want to go out for another job or start a new life or try for the film industry or music, because all of that is out here. It's a wonderful new start, which some people love about Los Angeles. So I'd say, you know, go ahead, do what you love, and don't hold back. Don't stick for a cubicle job that you're going to hate for the rest of your life, because that's not the way to live life. You have to live it and love it, and then you will really enjoy and be happy. It took me a long time to figure that.
And it's still, and I have to always remind myself of that too. Sometimes I have to take a step back and actually corner myself and say, okay, this is what I have to do, and I got to stay focused. But, Alex,
yes,
you know, with all that's going on, what is your thoughts on all the celebrities who are really acting outrageous at the moment, like Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes?
Well, I can't really condone it, but you have to look where these celebrities are coming from. They're all young. They all started really young. I know a lot of child celebrities that grew up and that they were forgotten by Hollywood, so that they turned drugs, alcohol, and violence and, you know, ridiculous behavior. You know, they used to be, look at the yesteryear where they were, from The Parent Trap or all that. Amanda Bynes got her own show. You know, she got caught up really, really early while she was still developing, and she lost control because it all happened so fast. You know, I mean, when she was in that stage of maturing, she was overrun with this fame, which really kind of poisoned her. I wish that these people would, you know, heal up and then just understand the real craft, like, you know, the masters do, like Christian Bale, who was nominated for American Hustle, phenomenal, or Leonardo DiCaprio, who has the most poised and gentlemanly attitude I've ever met in person. I mean, these people are the ones that they should aspire to be and not go into the, you know, the news doing something stupid like Miley Cyrus would do. That's what our culture is following, but it's just, you know, whatever the media wants to attract and make a circus out of it. So it's sad, but I hope that they would find their way through the darkness pretty much, which is where their head is at. Yeah. Pretty much. Hello? Did you hang up?
Oh, Alex, oh, I'm sorry. I was also going to say, you know, with some of our actors going down the wrong path, they're talking about heroin, and a lot of times you don't know that these people are doing this. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, addiction is something that humans struggle with. It was sad to see Philip Seymour Hoffman leave us. Wonderful actor, very talented, but the root of the problem is, you know, addiction. A lot of people fight it, and some people exploit it. Like a year or two back, Charlie Sheen was all about talking about being a rock star. He might still be a rock star out of the media's attention, as he always will be,
yeah.
But it's a struggle, and a lot of people need to go through rehab to lose it, and it's tough because the workload and the stress and the pressure get to you, and people just need to relax. They don't know how to relax, or they have so much money they don't know what to do with it, so they turn to drugs. It's sad, but that's kind of the way that it is.
It is, and like Hoffman, he was such a great actor, but who would ever thought that he was going through this struggle?
He stated at times in his past, I was able to see him at Sundance before. I saw him like 3 days before that this incident happened. And what he was mentioning was that the characters that he likes to take on have a deep and dark inner struggle. So when an actor goes into that kind of role, like Heath Ledger did before he played the Joker, it's very, very traumatizing on your personality and your soul. Because when you undertake somebody else's burdens, they become your burdens, and they become your problems. So when you are down in that deep, dark hole of a nightmare, from whatever role it may be, it's unpredictable, and that you lose touch with yourself. And that could be a reason why he turned to drugs. It could have been one of many things, but, you know, you can read the stories in Rolling Stone or online at The Hollywood Reporter. But these things happen when people get too much pressure on their shoulders.
And remember, he also played as an addict in another movie, too, so.
Yes, that could happen. It really could. And then, I'm sorry?
It was so ironic for him to play that, and then actually he was going through this trauma in his life. But I tell you, my prayers still go out to his family. He was such a great actor, and we lost another one. I hope that we can capture the rest of them. We don't want to keep losing them to this deadly toll.
Yeah, it's been a rough year with losses. We've lost legends. Shirley Temple passed away. Sid Caesar passed away. They just, you know, stars go out, never get extinguished. They never get extinguished in the history, but sometimes they fade in the real world. It's sad, but that's life, and we keep moving.
So, Alex, when you're getting ready to do a play or even film a television, how hard do you push yourself to reenact these roles?
To the limit and back. I see no point in taking it easy when you really want to understand the character. I submerge myself in the character. I would read through the scripts countless times and then sort of think of a backstory for them, where they're coming from, where they've been, what are their attitudes, their styles, their family life. You really submerge yourself so much as you become them. That's why I can understand how some of these actors have a really, you know, shaky reaction towards the role that they play, because they just get so involved that they become those characters and that they leave their body for itself and really make it real. It's such a wonderful practice, because it's like you get a chance to play, but when it's like playing a game, but you don't want to get too involved in the game or you become the game. So it's sort of like a tiptoe process. I love playing. It can be dangerous and fun and exciting.
Well, what is it that you do if you do find yourself acting in your real-life relationship?
Become self-aware, slow okay. yourself down, pull yourself back, retract. You know, I'm pretty big on taking a deep breath and looking around once in a while so you see what's going on, and just know where you're at when you look at your character. If your character is an abusive drunk who beats his wife, you have to make sure you don't bring on that type of rage and temper into your everyday life where you go, wow, I really just became who I'm trying to become right now. And it could be scary sometimes. You can really frighten yourself with your potential when you tap into a character. It can be a great deal sometimes, so just stay focused.
I know. But now, if you could star in a remake of a classic film, who would you want to play?
Well, that's funny. A remake of a classic film? Why not? How about The Godfather? I might make a pretty good one with Don Corleone or something. But I mean, I can't touch, you know, legends. When it comes to remakes, I'm not really that big of a fan because they're legends for a reason, and they've made it the way that it is. I don't like the way that Hollywood, you know, makes these types of movies that are just remakes. Just keep a legend a legend, and keep it at that.
Exactly. I agree with you so much. Especially, I love Halloween, but when they went and made another Halloween, I was like, really? And then you made him so big and groggy looking. I was like, no, this is not going to work. You're messing with the,
yeah.
And most of the time you find all these movies are like that. All of them are made from originals. Some of them be really good, but I think, like, the original, it's the best. Just like Jason, you just can't go and make another Jason. You just can't do it. Now, maybe if it's all the way. Maybe all the women who survived in Jason make another one. That probably would be good, but just making a whole another Jason over, no.
No, and no, you don't do that. Unless you continue your franchise. I mean, like those are franchise ones, like Friday the 13th with Freddy Krueger and Jason. They made like 12 of those because,
they
just kept – people really liked it. Chucky, they made like 12 of him. Horror tends to do that. You know, I mean, if the first one works, then you just keep going. I mean, there's cult classics like The Puppet Master, which is one of my favorite like cult classics. And they made like 10 of those. And they just keep going.
And once in a while, I would see Friday the 13th series come on Sci-Fi Channel. I really don't feel those. I like my original Friday the 13th. I do. The series, they can keep. I feel like you, Alex. They just need to leave the originals to the originals, but they know not to touch The Godfather or Scarface. You can't even dare touch those.
No, you can't. Hollywood needs something new. It needs something fresh, and that's why, you know, we turn to the indie filmmakers, which is another big part of my life, where we create what we want to do because we're the dreamers of dreams. They said it in Willy Wonka, and that we created out over here. So if we write something and put it down on paper and it's new and original, then we put it into full force. I really, really like independent filmmaking out here because it's so free to explore your ideas and creativity and to make it happen.
Like Sundance is a really great film company. I really like their stuff, and that's most of what my professor will always make us watch. Stuff from Sundance, the independent films that nobody really would pay attention to, especially when it came to Native American type movies. He always focused on those, and they're really good.
They have four festivals that you should really be on the lookout for films that will be coming up for distribution in the next year. It's Sundance, Cannes, and South by Southwest, and Tribeca. So those top four festivals are where you're going to find independent artists that would come out with their own films. I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in two of them. That was Winston Sundance. And Elijah Wood did another one, Cooties. There was Skeleton Twins, which was another big hit. There's movies that are out with named stars. Zach Braff's film, which was crowdfunded by the people, for the people, went out in Sundance. And that, people that want to go and make films can because they're – they're ready, willing, and able. So they attack the independent market, which is really growing every day because the major films are just not what people want to see sometimes.
No, but at the same time, no one really tries to promote much of these independent films. And they're always focusing on them. Sometimes they focus on the major films, and like you said, it's not what everybody wants, but that's where they're trying to push you to. It's just like it's just the way of the world to me. They're trying to push you into this corporate aspect that no one really wants to accept.
Yeah, that's they guide you. The media guides you. They tell you what to watch, what to wear, what to listen to. It's our culture. So that's what our culture is doing. And independent artists kind of fight the culture.
Yeah, and I hope so. I hope that it becomes a big major thing later on in the year. As far as it go with TV and movies, do you think there's just too much violence in these things?
Violence in movies? Well, it's interesting because it all depends on perception from who you're talking to, who's watching it, and what audience it is. When I grew up, I never had any censorship. I was able to watch R-rated films when I was 7 or 8 years old. And I guess it was because I knew the difference between reality and fantasy and fiction. Some people say, you know, they're blaming video games for all the violence. They're blaming our schools. They're blaming our peers. I think it really falls on the individual, the lifestyle that they live, the home area they grew up in, and that they become aware of what they know, so they're products of their environment. If they don't know the difference between right and wrong and reality and fiction, then there could be an issue. So it depends really on the individual.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Like you said, the home raisings, it's all about how they're raised, and we have to start monitoring our children better. We lead them towards TV. Oh, I'm busy, I'm working. You have to actually take out the time to step away from what you're doing and make sure that they're all right, that they're not looking at something that you don't want them to.
Yeah, it really depends on the parenting. And it depends on the child. I was fortunate enough to know that I don't really have that kind of malicious intent toward others, even while I'm watching it on screen. I mean, I think that I was fine growing up watching a lot of violence and, you know, harsh language and sexual situations. Didn't really affect me in a negative way. But for others, you know, people are like that, and they have a different interpretation of what they see. Everybody sees something different.
Yeah, some movies that display hatred. Would you ever think about doing a movie of that sort?
I'm sorry, doing a movie about what?
There are some movies that might display hatred.
Yes, it's a virtue of life. I wouldn't be opposed to it because, you know, it's a fact or of a matter that what happens in our real world should be explored and should be, you know, pursued and played at. People need to know about what the real world is like because school does not prepare you at all for what the real world is like outside, which is a frustration of mine. It's that when going to class every single day, you're going to your structured life, you go to your periods, your science, your math, your English, and then you hit the real world, and then you're like, well, I didn't know there would be all this bigotry and this racism or this violence or this favoritism or whatever it may be, because you don't see that really when you're in the school structure. So when people would watch films, they get to really see glimpses of what's happening in the world, whether it be outside of your country, outside of your town, all over. I mean, the experience is just, you know, enlightening and informing. So I think that those roles are a very valuable thing to play.
Yeah, I agree. You got to be versatile. I'm a movie fanatic person. I try to keep up with every movie possible. And I look at the different roles actors have to play, and I say, well, you have to be versatile. There are some roles that you will play nude. Some roles you might have to play as being gay. Now, are those roles that you will ever try to take on as well, too, Alex?
Well, yes, it's definitely a more deep dive to take on those roles. But, I mean, you could see actors that are phenomenal that play roles that you just are blown away by. Specifically Jared Leto, who just dominated the role of Dallas Buyers as a transsexual. You believe that he's a woman. He plays it so well, and that you're shocked because of the the flawlessness of his character. You're just so submerged in that life that you believe it. You know, it's very, very true to the character that he's playing. So there really is no discrimination towards the characters that you're doing. It goes all the way back to before even Tootsie, when Dustin Hoffman was able to do it and dress as a woman. I mean, the roles are risky, but they are, you know, highly regarded amongst actors. It could be a very, very tough task to undertake.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious. As far as it goes with, I'm sure it is, too. And
yes,
Alex, as far as it goes with the movies now and years ago, do you think movies are better in production now or when it was in black and white?
Two completely different, like, you know, styles of food or style, like, there's completely different styles. I miss, personally, the movies shot in the 80s and the 90s, early 2000s. It's just not the same because of the extreme pressure on VFX to be bigger and better, more explosions, more this, more that. It's just, it's too much. It kind of destroys the whole process of acting. They just throw in all this fancy, you know, car explosions or digitalized effects that it takes away from the talent, pretty much. I'm not particularly impressed with the movies of today, but, I mean, the ones that are up that you will see at the Oscars, yes, they deserve those nominations because that is flawless movie making. And you'll notice that most of them don't really have crazy visual effects, like 12 Years a Slave was just a wonderful drama piece that was done, you know, on the East Coast or in plantations here far and wide, or The Butler, which talks about the life of an African-American man going through the White House and living up through his dreams and ambitions, overcoming all the hurdles. There's a lot of wonderful stories because there's truth to them, and they're just so deeply impacting that that's a film. You know, I mean, you'd rather go and watch 12 Years a Slave and see a real piece of filmmaking than RoboCop. Not to knock it or anything, but RoboCop was done in the 80s. You know, leave it in the 80s. The 80s are coming back. This is what Hollywood's doing.
I mean, because years ago when we watched RoboCop, we were amazed that we saw these robots moving around, because that was futuristic to us. We didn't know anything about that. But now that we have all this technology, it's like, I really kind of probably don't want to see it again. Don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it, mate. You could have kept that one. You could have kept your millions of dollars. And that's how I feel. I don't know why producers feel they have to spend so much to make a film that actually people don't want to really see.
It's just the name, the brand, the familiarity, the familiarity, I guess. It's just, you know, what will sell. That's what that studios really care about. The business is 90% politics, 10% creativity. I mean, it's a whole different world that when you peek your head in, it's just, it gets messy with red tape and agreements and, you know, partnerships and percentages that go in and out and what the studio makes and cutting costs and corners and, you know, it's the industry is definitely changing. It's ever changing because these movie budgets are outrageous, and then you're looking for distribution, and you know the process is a nightmare sometimes, and you just have to go through it when you want to make it happen. So you could find yourself really breaking your back to make a film, and you don't know if it'll make a profit. I mean, you do it because you love to do it. I hope that's the reason, because if that is the reason why you're doing it, then you're meant to do it. If you're out here looking for fame or immediate fortune or gratitude or things like that, you're in the wrong place. You need to love what you do, and that's why I enjoy what I do so much.
Well, Alex, I know we're getting short on time, but I would love for us to know, when shall we be expecting any upcoming films for you to be seen in?
All right. Well, the new upcoming feature film, which we will be shooting in March, is called Lack of Cockery. My co-producer, Josh Mitchell, I am working with closely to make it happen. We've been doing production meetings two or three times a week, and we're going to be shooting from the 1st to the 9th, 12-hour days straight through, and that should be ready in about 3 or 4 months. So I'm excited to work towards that, and there will be plenty of advertisement online, so you should check out Breezeway Productions and stay tuned on further developments.
Oh, well, I'm so happy for all your accomplishments, Alex. And I'm honored that you was on the show with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome, and you have a blessed one, Alex.
Thank you so much. You too.
Well, my lovely audience, I hope that you be checking out Alex Helicek. He has a lot of fortune coming ahead, and he has great things to show us. But make sure you catch on Breezeway Production, which you can find on Facebook, Breezeway Productions, and they'll give you a little background on what's going on behind the studios, what movies are coming up. So please check that out. And tomorrow's guest will be Benson. He will be giving us a little insight into the fat nutrition of our bodies and everything of that sort. So I hope you tune in tomorrow for another great show. And it's been a blessed one. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Tanisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.